This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. You want to jump in and give us a call. We've got so much to review. It is TGIBPF. Busted Pencils Friday. I got it right. Man, what a week. Can't believe it's Friday already, though. Considering, man, we were just, you know, pre-show getting ready for tonight's show, you know, between the three of us sharing back and forth. What do we do Monday? What do we do Tuesday? It was like, holy crap, we covered a lot of stuff this week. So, Jess, Johnny, man, way to bring it. Way to bring it. Listener out there, too. Way to hang in there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. It is TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils. Thank Friday. Goodness. Download the Civic Media app. You're out there. All I can say, though, is that I am, and we're going to talk this, I am thankful on a Friday that the Republican National Convention is over.
What a finale.
I have my own, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I holy crap, did they blow it? They were kicking, you know, that A double, you know, money symbols, and look out, they invited that dude to come up and finish out the night. Oh, rough one. But
you can't make this stuff up. I mean, there was like 8 or 9 year old me who would have been pumped for Hulk Hogan to give a speech for any electoral candidate. It was just wild. I mean, you really can't, short of being on an acid trip, make this stuff up.
I saw an ad or a meme or something going like, people outside of America have no idea what they just witnessed when they saw that Kid Rock, Hulk Hogan, Dana White, you name it. It's just like, wait a minute, what the heck was that? These are just the people. These are the warm-up people to somebody running for president.
Well, hey, man, you know, if you're running for president of the United States, a perk should be you get to pick your opening act.
Opening act, yeah.
And I think we got to see what happens when.
But is there not something to be said for, you know, politics not necessarily being all about the show?
Yeah. Right. Well, speaking of that, before we get too much further into things, and there's a lot to recap for the week, Tim, and talk about this week, and we'll get to callers and listeners because I'm sure there'll be input from our listeners out there. But don't forget, Tim, super important to the show. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. They're big time advocates for public education. They're always working hard to build community and make great beer. Most importantly, too, getting that great beer out into your hands. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Or if you're local or you're on the Wisconsin area, I think all the way down into Chicago and extending out. I just saw online extending out west, further into western parts of Wisconsin and over into Minnesota.
Nice.
Well, you should be able to grab your Minocqua Brewing Company beers. So get out there and get them. We appreciate you, Minocqua Brewing Company. Tim, though, back to the action.
Back to the action. You know what, though? In fact, man, we spurred it right away. L.A. Tom, we're going to jump in. We got a lot more to say, but L.A. Tom wants to jump right in right away. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We are democracy warriors.
Yes, sir.
Old, broken down, stale dementia Don was an embarrassment last night. And I do want to say that if Kamala Harris becomes the nominee, which I still think Joe Biden will be the nominee, but if Kamala is the nominee, I hope she picks the governor from North Carolina, Roy Cooper. That's 17 electoral college votes, and he is actually, his background is a school, His mother was a school teacher, I believe. His wife's an attorney. I mean, it's like he'd be perfect in terms of he was an attorney general, and the people of North Carolina love him. He'd be a really, really great choice if we do have to go down that road.
Running mate for Kamala Harris. Okay, I've seen out there, and I know we want to get back to, because Tim's Trivia teased that out there. We got
That's
it ready.
That's a Friday feature,
That's
Tim.
A Friday feature, man. We got to say this, but L.A. Tom, you know, I saw a pairing that suggested Pete Buttigieg as a potential running mate for Kamala Harris. And I think that's an incredibly strong ticket. I see, L.A. Tom, I'm going to tell you, when we start having these conversations, that's why I don't understand how you keep saying that we need to keep Biden, because I get excited talking about the possibilities of Kamala Harris, the North Carolina, Pete Buttigieg, Jess's dad saying Adam Kinzinger. Holy crap. Hey-o. I mean, there's something that lifts me up when we start having this conversation, you know,
it's democracy in action.
It's democracy in action. And after last night, where it truly was, I mean, the Republicans that disagree with everything they said, but they were running a tight ship. They were delivering. And man, what a disaster with, you know, TFG, that, you know, that effing guy. And now the opportunity is upon Democrats to move in and take over and say, let's bring some excitement, some Kamala Harris. And who's that new running mate? Adam Kinzinger, maybe. Pete Buttigieg, maybe. I don't know. But it's so inspiring to have that conversation.
But Tim, you know who I want, since we're throwing in our
Go ahead.
You know, my nomination to run with Kamala is Big Gretch.
Oh, absolutely.
Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan, and that's my favorite. I would love to see her run for president, but I mean, let's not get too wild with this, because I do think Harris is in line, and I think she'd be great. I really do. I think we don't talk often enough about the role she plays, about her work, and I don't agree with all of it, but again, we've said, like, agreeing 100% with somebody is not as important as solidarity towards a strong democracy. And I think Harris has what it takes. And then let's get into the excitement here and the optimism of what that looks like. I also, we'll get back to it, because we're going to recap the week. And we had a guest last night, really special, and offered a really important point to contrast. And that's something I did today, because I really thought that was really fruitful, helpful, generative suggestion, right, from our guest Randy last night. And she said, hey, remember, it's really important for us all to contrast. Mm-hmm. What are the differences between these two parties? What are the differences between who's running, whether we get into whether it's Joe or whether it's Harris and somebody, however we get into this going into the Democratic convention, right? I think it's a really important moment, but I do think it's really worthwhile to contrast. And I think that's really important to look at the Trump 4 years, Trump-Pence 4 years, look at the Biden-Harris 4 years, and do a comparison contrast. We'll be doing that. Of course, not all tonight, but I did it on paper today, and I was like, I like L.A. Tom. I think he's been calling for this. I really felt like, okay, when I do that, I'm less distracted by the show of all this, and I'm reminded, what are my values and what am I voting on? And so I think it's really important that we do that kind of contrasting. It's generative and it's productive. Anyways, Tim, back to tonight, because one of my favorite things about Friday is Tim's trivia. So Tim, drop the trivia so listeners can call in. And
we're gonna tease this one here, but I'm gonna tell you right now. This is gonna be interesting. So, dealing with breakfast, American breakfast, and risky behavior. What does American breakfast and risky behavior have in common?
Maple syrup.
Yes.
I mean, immediately, Tim, I think of how often I have breakfast for dinner. Call it Brenner. You've heard that before? I mean, that's risky behavior.
Well, so let's just put the question out there, and it's going to be there. What American breakfast food had its origins in risky behavior? What American breakfast food had its origins in risky behavior? In other words, because of risky behavior, there became an American breakfast food. Who knew that risky behavior would be the impetus of breakfast food? That's the question. More hints to follow throughout the night as we're building up on this. But yeah, breakfast food that was inspired by risky behavior, or as Jess was saying pre-show, risque. I don't know. Is risky and risque, are they different words? Or do, like
absolutely. They're different words.
They're absolutely different words with different meanings. And I'm guessing that the trivia question has nothing to do with risque behavior, but I'm excited because if it does, this is an interesting spin on breakfast.
I was going to say, you never know. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated. Educators Talking Education, the number's 855-752-4842. It is TGIBPF. That's, thank God, it's Busted Pencils Friday. Yeah, talking about, you know, got L.A. Tom in here quick to kind of come in and talk about the, you know, a horrendous, truly horrendous performance by TFG, that effing guy, last night at the convention that really just opens up a great possibility, I think, for Democrats. And we were speculating about the possibility of how exciting it is to imagine the possibilities of a Kamala Harris and somebody ticket. It's exciting. Johnny, though, you reminded too, last night, great guest, Randy Weingarten, president of AFT, was on all week. You know, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna on in the house Wednesday. Tuesday, Wendy Warren, An Illusion of Equity. Monday started off with the Wisconsin Public Education Network and Community Schools crew and the conference. I mean, I said there's just so much that this week we have been, I would say to ourselves, we have truly been busting pencils this week. Jess, Johnny, nice, way to go. Hey, 855-752-4842. It is Friday, Tim's Trivia. The question here: what American breakfast food had its origins in risque behavior?
How should people submit their answers?
Oh, they can. Somebody could call or text. We'll take either way. Call it in or text, you know. But I'm going to be like any of these other trivia questions. It's not going to be a simple one-word answer. You're going to have to come up with the story. Busted Pencils. Stay tuned. It's not a dream. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education, 855-752-4842, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Tim's Trivia started off, you know, get it out there. We said, call, text it in. What American breakfast food had its origins in risque behavior?
I think you probably mean risky.
Risque.
We'll find out, but just to throw it out there, I mean, the definition I know of, or that I have most up front in my mind, maybe this is speaking to my own Friday mind, but risque usually means like something indecent or shocking, usually sexually suggestive. So, I mean, breakfast, I mean, there's some directions that could mislead the trivia. We'll certainly see. But I'm really interested because I have no idea, especially in the context of history, of a breakfast. I'm guessing American breakfast, to stick with the theme here, Tim. Like, breakfast is really different around the world. But American breakfast, rooted in some kind of risky behavior.
I don't know. I love Sherry, though, from Horror Con Sherry. She says bacon and sunny side up eggs for the visual. Tom says bacon, too. L.A. Tom says bacon. No, that is not it. Now, I'm not saying that some of you might have breakfast foods and engaging yourselves in some form of risky behavior. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about trivia, history, and it is truly American history. When we get to the true answer of this, that people are going to be like, what? Are you kidding me? Yes, it is absolutely going to be something where you're going like, holy crap.
We've got some suggestions, right? We got Mark on the line with a suggestion. Is this related to the breakfast trivia, or is it related to just in general? But let's hear from Mark. We got Mark on the line.
I kind of heard the risky and debating those, and heard the breakfast food thing. But I'd guess cornflakes, and there is the difference between risky and risky. There's actually a tie in between those two, because if you engage in the risky behavior, I think that the cornflakes, based on the clues that I've been given, is avoiding blindness. And supposedly the breakfast food would make you avoid that.
Oh, look at Mark there. Mark, it sounds like you're adding a little bit to this without at the same time revealing potentially there. But boy, Mark is right on target right there pretty quickly. Look, Jess is like, really? Cornflakes?
Oh, no, I knew this.
I had no idea.
And Johnny's like, what? What do you mean cornflakes? And
well, I know risk about cornflakes.
And risque behavior. Okay. Yeah, the answer. All right, Mark, we're going to have to give it to Mark on that one, because he got it right away. Cornflakes is the answer. Just to let you all know, in the late 19th century, a visionary physician named Dr. John Harvey Kellogg.
Oh, I know about the Kelloggs.
Yeah, was on a quest to change the world, starting with breakfast. At his famous Battle Creek Sanitarium in Michigan, Dr. Kellogg preached the virtues of a simple, bland diet. He believed that spicy and flavorful foods were dangerous, and that they could spark passions and lead to moral downfall. Determined to help people achieve physical and moral purity, Kellogg invented a revolutionary new breakfast cereal made from cornflakes. But there was more to this than just a crunchy creation, than just its health benefits. Kellogg was convinced that a plain diet could curb sexual desires, including the then scandalous act of masturbation. We could say
you
that word.
You can say that word on the radio.
We could say it.
This is hilarious.
Is this new information to you, Johnny?
I mean, yes.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, I'm just thinking in my head all these slogan sayings that were missed, you know, mastication to prevent masturbation, all these different ways that we could have gone with. Who knew cornflakes were introduced as this?
But it wasn't just that he didn't stop at the diet. He was a fervent. This is Kellogg, the founder of Kellogg's. Yeah, and think of all the other breakfast cereals, but cornflakes specifically. He was an advocate of celibacy, insisting that abstaining from sex was the key to a pure and healthy life. He also promoted circumcision, not for religious reasons or hygiene, but as a drastic measure to prevent that act, as Mark reminds us, could potentially cause blindness. Not really. Masturbation. Despite these controversial beliefs, Kellogg's cornflakes became a breakfast staple, beloved for their simplicity and convenience. Yet, few who enjoyed the cereal knew the extraordinary story and motivations behind its creation. There it is, an American story, cornflakes, Mr. Kellogg, a physician, the whole reason for their god-awful bland nastiness that needs tons of spoonfuls of sugar and all kinds of added fruits to make it palatable. Well, that was his intention. If you eat bland, then you'll be bland. And if you're bland, you won't do those things that put your vision at risk. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators. Are we talking education now? I think so. You know, it's a little bit there. 855-75.
A lot of people just got educated.
There's a lot of education there. Jess, I love that you were sitting there going like, wait, Johnny, you didn't know that. So you knew this one.
I did.
No, Jess knew it. I didn't. And you think I would. You know, they didn't teach us this on the field trip to to Kellogg's. You know,
I was gonna say, Johnny, you had to have gone there, right?
Oh yeah, we'd go there. It was kind of a regular thing, like to visit Kellogg factory and go on a tour. And you know, Battle Creek's not far from Detroit, and it's certainly not far also from our friends at Western Michigan, where we talked to you know, our friends there about Grow Your Own and the teacher ed program they have there. But yeah, the Kellogg Foundation and the Kellogg, you know, complex over there. I did know the history. I did know that there was like a mental health kind of sanitarium thing there. And there were always some stories, but I'd never heard this one. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing, Tim, I could have missed that bit of information because field trips were kind of a blur to me. As we know, I didn't get to go on many of them. And when I did go, I was like the ADHD, you know, it's a field trip. It's out of routine.
I have a feeling this was not probably part of the field trip. It probably wasn't one of the placards. When you come into this room here, we're going to tell you kids about the creation of cornflakes. Now, we know some of you 7th and 8th graders right now are going to be in desperate need of cornflakes because, God, no, my God, stop it. That's getting ridiculous. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. TGIBP, thank God it's Busted Pencils F Friday. It is Busted Pencils Friday. Man, we're coming back. We've got so much going on. Week in review. Oh, democracy in action. Something else we're going to own a little bit of a mistake too. We're going to come back to that. So, you know, hey, Busted Pencils, stay tuned for more. Welcome to the breakdown. Welcome to the end of the road. This is a breakdown. We've got nowhere else to go. Welcome to the breakdown. Welcome to the end of the road. This is a breakdown. We've got nowhere else to go. It's not much, but this is home. And there's nowhere else to go. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Breaking it down truly, because it's been a week. And we said, Johnny, just a reminder, Monday, Wisconsin Public Education Network in the house with community schools talking about their upcoming conference on July 30th and 31st. Tuesday, Wendy Warren in to talk about her book, The Illusion of Equity, The History of Eugenics and the Standardized Testing Movement. Wednesday, Educators Amplified, teacher Joanna in the house, Childhood, What We Do to Protect Childhood. Thursday, last night, truly an honor, the president of AFT, Randy Weingarten, second largest union that represents teachers. And as we heard last night, and I didn't know this, also all of the support workers in education and the second largest nurses working union. And Johnny, you really made a strong connection to there too, and just realizing that, you know, labor represented through AFT now and the inclusion of nurses and the real feminization though of those professions, and then the idea of moving that into a labor movement. I thought Randy Weingarten was just like, dude, she was feeling your vibe, man.
Well, Tim, I mean, labor is labor, and it's really important to be a union. And I give a lot of credit to the AFT. And I give a lot of credit to all unions, but I also have a pretty strong critique of the movement to go from being a union or federation of a profession like teaching to an association. And I know like every state's got it, the WEA, the MEA, you know, those are strong teacher unions. But I really was frustrated as a teacher with the way that they distanced themselves from blue collar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it was fun to really talk with Randy last night and to hear the exciting ways that the AFT who, as an AFT member, consistently represented labor in the places a lot of the associations didn't necessarily seem to want to. So right. When you've taught on those fringes and you've taught in those places where it's not only really difficult to be a teacher, but it's really difficult to be a union representing a teacher, the AFT has stayed tried and true to those places. So as a Detroit public school teacher, through good and through bad, the AFT was with us all the way. So big props to that. But, you know, it is really important in this moment. We think about labor organizing and we think about the way that feminized work and care work in this country gets devalued. Mm-hmm. You know, the same way a lot of things that are feminized are, it's seen as a put down, and that's via, you know, systems like patriarchy and sexism. And that's alive and well in 2024. Right. And so really, it's really, really fantastic and important to be hearing that nurses and teachers belong to this massive union, the AFT, right? Just the American Federation of Teachers, right? But as Randy told us last night, they're really branding as AFT because
AFT
have such a large base in healthcare and in education that this is, and in other things, right? I know that there are bartenders and there are brew pub employees. Wow. There are lots of different organized labor that are represented in the AFT. And so I loved hearing that because I like that Randy reminded us to contrast, you know, things, to pay attention to contrast, and also to remember this is a Dickens moment where things are bad, but there's also a lot of good things. It's like best of times, it's the worst of times.
Mm. I'm telling you. What? Johnny, did you do that?
Tim, I didn't, but you know what happens every day on Busted Pencils, right? You know what happens is we have our Democracy in Action, right? Democracy in Action every day on Busted Pencils. Well, today's Democracy in Action, Tim, right? Right. Today's Democracy in Action is truth, right? Linked to the core democratic values of the importance of being truthful, and the government should not lie to its citizens. And I emphasize that because democracy and action, right, are all of, and there's not a lot of them, and I hope that as we move into future weeks, there's more of it, but all of the media people out there who are committing to the truth, regardless of accusations that they're not being sensitive enough to current, you know, politics and moments in politics, we can be honest and truthful without being incendiary or without being offensive. Right. You can report on the truth. And that's especially important when we're talking about contrasting, because there's a lot of smoke and mirrors around. Well, this is what the Trump campaign is going to do, and this is what the Biden campaign hasn't done, and here's the reason why we're in an economic recession. There's all these kinds of statements being flown. So today's Democracy in Action is staying honest to the truth, because the American people in a democracy, right, any people in a democracy, deserve the truth, not only from its government, but from all the people who are part of that democracy. And so media folks, stay true and honest to the truth. Mm. Right? You can do that without being incendiary. You can do that without adding rhetoric of political violence. And I know this week was difficult to report on, like the Republican National Convention and things, because there were really important things to be said that are close to the truth. And we can't be afraid to say, hey, Project 2025 is dangerous for democracy. That is a matter of fact. That is not an attack. That is not, you know, a hyperbole. That is not incendiary. That is not a rhetoric of political violence. That is just fact and truthful. But I will say it was uncomfortable and difficult to do, especially on the heels of an assassination attempt. And that does not mean we're condoning that kind of violence. An assassination attempt is a low moment in any history, especially American democracy. But I give Democracy in Action recognition to every person who had to deal with that sometimes uncomfortable, right? Sometimes unpopular position they were in, to report truth, to report fact. And that's really important that we continue to do that, especially as we carry into next week, Tim, and in future weeks, as we have the Democratic National Convention coming up. We've certainly got everyone in this country is glued to the next installment, the next chapter of what both parties are doing as we lead into this election.
Man,
so that's a big one today, Tim. Truth and democracy in action recognition. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Here we go. Oh, man, Tim. One of my favorite things about Friday. One of my favorite things about Friday is going to be that sound lead-in. We've been talking about it almost every day, Tim. We talk about it weekly. We have a weekly feature we announce at the end of each week. 20 lessons from the 20th century. Timothy Snyder gives us 20 lessons from the 20th century. Little correction.
Yeah, there you go.
The last couple of weeks I've been saying it's 20 from the 21st. I mean, that technically does apply because this is the 21st century and these are 20 lessons that certainly apply.
That apply in the 21st century.
But we're drawing them directly from my man, Timothy Snyder, and his book titled 20 Lessons from the 20th Century, right? So 20 lessons from the 20th century. The theme last week was stand up, stand out, right? Stand up, stand out. So we have a theme this week, Tim. We have a theme this week. And really, it's going to be a tough one, right? It's going to be a tough one, but we're going to stick with it. And it's and Tim, it shouldn't be a tough one.
Okay, but come on,
I'll
man.
Tell you, it's going to be tough because disagreement is at all-time high. But I'm going to make it simple. Next week's 20 from the 20th, right? It's going to be to remember the importance of small talk and connection. Remembering, I know this is an introvert's nightmare. I know. I'm not saying this is just for all my extroverts out there. Because small talk can look different. It doesn't have to be like, hey, so how about that weather today?
How about the weather?
If you're an extrovert like me, this is like you live on at least five times a day engaging in small talk with strangers. But that's not everybody. But the equivalent, that's why I say small talk and connection. We need to remember, especially in this time where we will disagree and we are divided, and that is in every way a healthy part of a democracy. But a way we can engage in being healthier together and strengthening the value of that disagreement is by engaging and connecting with one another in small talk. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, great to see you. Hey, it's wonderful to share a coffee today at the coffee shop, right? Or it's great to see, or just thank you for your service. Because every single one of us, whether we're getting fuel for our car or getting a meal somewhere, getting checked out at the grocery store, or even if you use the automatic, like a self-checkout, there's still someone who's got to come over and, like, you know, make sure it all goes.
I can walk over and be like, I see you're getting cornflakes.
Just engage in the small things and the connections. That is a lesson Timothy Snyder details, you know, in his book, offers. And I think it goes a long way, especially in these moments where we're going to be divided. We're going to be faced with having difficult conversations. And it's really important that in the face of, really, we're staring down the barrel of a converging on a one-party system. And that's not even me saying, oh boy, watch out for the Republicans, or oh geez, what are the Democrats going to do? It's like we're converging on kind of this tit-for-tat, angry, firing back and forth at each other kind of politics. And the result usually is kind of a monolithic platform, and that's dangerous. So what are some of the ways we can, as everyday folks, engage in really generative actions? Small talk, conversations, simple hello, a simple, hey, glad to see you. Nice to see you this morning. Thanks for delivering my mail carrier.
Well, I've heard this referred to then potentially, you know, you're just, it's the way you carry yourself though. And you said the grocery store, right? Walking into the grocery store with a forward face that kind of greets people with a smile. And even a smile can be that opening to small talk, because the reality is that so often we're just like head down. I got to get my cornflakes. I got to get out of here. Whatever. But the whole idea of just repositioning your head and your eyes, and the idea of creating a kind of connection with people face to face, and then saying, yeah, like the potential, like, you know, hey, amazingly hot day out here. I mean, you can use the weather to engage in small talk. That's one of the best ways to start that conversation, you know, and especially the way it's been lately, where I'm just imagining myself all the little trips I run down to the grocery store here. Holy crap, you get out of the car, it's 100 degrees outside. Guess what? You got something to talk about when you get into the air conditioning of the grocery store. You got something to talk about.
Well, and I'm going to be a little bit more, utilitarian or practical about this, even instrumentalize the action of small talk, right? Making eye contact, making small talk. It's not just about being polite, right? It's about being a responsible member of society. It's also a way for those of you out here who might, this might resonate with you, for you to stay in touch with what's happening around us. It's a way to break down social barriers. It's also a way, it's a litmus test of learning who we can and can't trust, right? As we enter this era and we're deep in it, right? There's a culture of denunciation, a culture of like, I'm not for this and you're for that, right? You'll want to know the psychological landscapes of your everyday life, right? And so knowing that, like, when you say, oh, what are we going to do the day after the election? Well, it's going to be a lot like the day before the election, a month before the election, because you have a routine of human connection, right? Where you walk and you'll already know your people and you'll strengthen one another and you'll make each other stronger. Because as L.A. Tom reminds us in Core Democratic Value, Popular Sovereignty, we the people are the government. Mm-hmm. All right. We know electoral politics doesn't always reflect that. That's a bigger fish to fry and an important one. But in the wake of this moment, it's really important for us to know our surroundings and to have connections, right? And equally important, because I'm not saying it always goes well, but then knowing spaces where it's not going well, right? So that we have a good understanding of the landscape that we're in.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated Educators Talking Education. You can jump into 855-752-4842. Democracy in Action 20. From the 20th century, getting that right. And we can apply them, Johnny, let's add our own, to apply them in the 21st century as you're listening to Busted Pencils. It's what we do every Friday. Stay tuned for more. Oh, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. You can talk too with us, 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom jumped in really quickly with this. Yeah, it's been a week. TGIBPF, thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Last segment of the show. Man, a lot going on. We are cramming so much content into every week, every day of the week. And now as I'm even now thinking of tonight's show, my goodness, the amount of things that are going on. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Again, great week. Wisconsin Public Education Network on Monday. Last Tuesday, Wendy Warren, The Illusion of Equity, Eugenics and Standardized Testing. Wednesday, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna. Last night, AFT's president, Randy Weingarten, and tonight, Tim's Trivia, Democracy in Action, 20 from the 20th. Wow. We just keep putting it and pouring it on. And Johnny, as we're coming in, though, too, we're heading into the weekend, though, as we think about, you know, the transition from the Republican National Convention now to this weekend of what's going to happen. We hear right now, too, all of the discussion on will it be President Biden or will President Biden pass the torch, which right now there's an organization out there called Pass the Torch that has funded a multi-million dollar commercial of kids. Well, not kids, but, you know, the youth of America. Jess, your crowd out there saying, come on, President Biden, pass the torch. Jess, have you seen the ad?
I haven't seen the ad, but I have seen people my age and, frankly, a lot of people significantly older than me echoing that statement.
But there is something about your age, though, too, that really, when I watched that commercial today, there was something, because I saw you, I saw my son, I saw my daughter, and that kind of making that statement of going like, dude, you were great, but you're not talking to us. And right now we are really concerned. We're really feeling the caution and the Project 2025. And this is a consequential election. And for us who are just, you know, we're 20 something, we're 30 something. Hey, we're 50 something. And we've got a lot more to go and some ambitions. It's like, come on, man, give us the opening to make this truly a race. And I just go back to the beginning of the show when L.A. Tom called in and we just started that idea. Gee, if Kamala Harris was the candidate, who could be the running mate? Just between L.A. Tom, Johnny, Jess, me, we just started engaging with excitement about wondering who the possibilities. And just feeling that, I got to hope right now the Biden campaign, I know when you're listening on the Civic Media app to Busted Pencils that you're hearing us tonight, hear that excitement that we got right there. Take it back. Tell Joe, you know, hey, Joe, turn off the Civic Media app for a second.
Just for a second, though.
We want to pass that torch because, man, we heard excitement when people started imagining and they loved what has happened in the last 3.5 years. And they just imagine the possibilities of what can happen in the next 4 years with that kind of saying, passing the torch, handing it over, Kamala Harris, let's pick another running mate. And maybe it's not even Kamala Harris. Maybe there's another one. But the whole idea that that brings us back to an inspired sense of going, man, because I tell you, we have an opening. And I hate saying the we as if I'm on a team, because I guess I am. But the opening last night, I was feeling doomy and gloomy all week this week because I kept watching. And I said, I disagree with nothing about what they say makes any sense, but they were on message. They were delivering a really tight convention with a lot of like, holy crap, that came off of that assassination attempt on President Trump and really put forward this messaging machine where it's like, man, we are truly, we, those of us who would like to not see the effing guy get reelected again, I was feeling like I was on the ropes, man. I was feeling like I was on the ropes. And then he got up there last night and just rambled for like 90 minutes.
93 minutes.
I mean, oh, but during those 93 minutes, he opened the door again to make the opportunity to come in and go, first of all, he let us know everything he was about. Mass deportation. Okay. This is a guy who in his acceptance speech literally went out there to talk about, hey, we're not going to allow men to compete in women's sports as transgender. I mean, this is the content of who the character of what they're standing for. It came out bold. No, it didn't come out bold. It came out kind of sloppy and kind of
garbled and rambled.
Yeah, garbled. And there were a couple of times I was like, man, the dude's sweating a lot. He looked rough, but come on there, the Democratic Party, not the Democrat Party. See that, L.A. Tom? I've been listening to you. We're out there, though. We've got a real opportunity here, though, and we do this all the time.
It's an exciting opportunity.
Yes, it's exciting.
We've had a lot of callers today who are all calling in with their best picks. People are excited and engaged.
My goodness. We can do that. Said Biden campaign, we know you're out there. We know you all have downloaded the Civic Media app, and we know you're paying attention, you know, to all of the shows on Civic Media, but we know you're always listening to Busted Pencils. And typically, too, some of you might even be at that fabled place, the Minocqua Brewery Tap Room in Madison, Johnny Lupinacci, because you know what happens at the Minocqua Brewery Tap Room is great conversation about making America with great beer again. I wasn't going to do it. You thought I was going there, right? No. Making beer great again in America, making Wisconsin great again. You could check out at the tap room in Madison, up north at the Minocqua Brewing at the home location. Hey, online at minocquabrewingcompany.com. check it out. You can order their swag, order their beer, order their wine, order their coffee. Johnny, it has been a week, my friend. And I would say, Jess, we have Busted Pencils. See y'all next week.